Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Time for Corlin Political Report featuring Jim McKinney and myself. We want to talk a little bit, not a little bit, but we're going to devote the entire weekend radio program here, obviously, to the war in the Middle East. I've got some very interesting thoughts on that. But before we give our thoughts, I think we really need to talk about what's going on. We've been here a number of days, though, and so far Israel is, if I'm not mistaken, Jim, pretty much massing on the border of Gaza to, as Netanyahu says, wipe out the terrorists. You want to add something to that, Jimmy?
Yeah, sure. So just, you know, for summary, and I guess most people have been paying attention to it, but on October 7th, which was actually, you know, 50 years to the day for the Yom Kippur War, which was a surprise attack by Arab nations that nearly overtook Israel, about 1,500 Hamas-trained commandos, terrorists straight up, crossed the Gaza Strip border into Israel, into numerous kibbutzes as well as a music festival, and attacked little villages and towns, kibbutzes along the border area within, you know, penetrated quite a few miles in. The damage has been estimated to, the some casualty reports are as high as 1,300 dead at this point. And of course, we've heard a lot of the horror stories of, you know, grandmothers, children being decapitated. We haven't seen the specific evidence, but apparently there are visual confirmation of that, in spite of Joe Biden's really failed comment on this. Basically, it's created circumstances that have inflamed the Israeli people, and where up until this event, there was a very large percentage of Israeli population that were actually looking towards peace, had sympathy for the Palestinian cause, had somewhat a bit of a negative opinion of the conservative government that had taken over by Benjamin Netanyahu. But what you've seen now with this massive attack and the absolute unbelievable attack is a unity government that's come out of that in Israel, where the former more moderate left leader Bernie Getz has now joined with Netanyahu to form a unity government, a war government, in order to basically annihilate the Hamas leadership in Gaza.
Now, my question is, I know that I've been watching this. I've been watching the news on, I've been following this on Fox. I tried to follow it on some of the other networks, but I think Fox, quite frankly, is doing the best job. This was talked about last night on Fox. I didn't hear it on any of the other in-depth, I guess I should say, Jim. I didn't hear it on any of the other networks that I kept checking in with. The concept of a unity government rallying to smash Hamas is very interesting to me, because I wonder how effective they're going to be. It seems to me that the best way, the only way to annihilate Hamas, basically, is to level their city. Comments?
Well, you can tell by pictures already. They're doing it. The Israeli Air Force has actually done a fairly decent job in doing that. I mean, large portions of Gaza City are now leveled. They are massing their, probably 2 to 3 divisions along the border at this point. They have called up the largest reserve call-up in Israel's history, with about 360,000 reservists being called up, every person in the reserves, including dual citizens and Israelis that are in the U.S. and other places around the world are being called back home and flying El Al back in. So they're preparing for a massive event, and they're preparing for it in a full-on war level. This is not going to be a short-term operation. This is a massive event, and it isn't directly or focused solely on Hamas. It's also on defending its northern territories near the West Bank and, of course, Golan Heights near Lebanese Hezbollah positions, which is a very powerful, strong army, and, of course, focused on Tehran and the Iranian support to Hamas. So this is actually spinning very deeply into a massive Middle Eastern war. There's a potential for incredible mistakes that could create potential for the Israelis to be in a situation where they become very desperate. And the reason why I say that is Hamas did not take this action without the understanding that they had a serious backup capability somewhere. They just weren't big enough and strong enough to do this type of damage. So there must be a bigger strategic reason for Hamas to take this extreme action, and with the devastating consequences of, you know, citizens and civilians and young peace people at a rave festival being hunted down, shot in the street, grandparents shot in the street, and then taking a large number of kidnapped people. So it looks like at least over 100 hostages have been held in Gaza, possibly deep in tunnels. We are not exactly sure where they are. But there was a sophisticated plan, and there was an expectation that they had support in a broader area, or they would not have conducted it, which actually brings the possibility of a three-front war for Israel, and their ability to sustain that war would require massive assistance from the United States and other powers, and we don't know if they're capable of doing that considering the commitments to the Ukraine war right now and the damage to U.S. stockpiles from supporting that war for over a year and a half.
Well, that's absolutely true. I also, later on in the show, want to talk about the organization called the United States of America and how efficient an organization it actually is today. To me, that's a pretty fascinating question, Jim, in watching some of the TV coverage of the involvement you know, of the federal government. It's pretty pretty weak, in my opinion, in some aspects. But can Israel alone fight a three-front war? Number one, the area of Gaza that you just discussed, the area of Gaza between Gaza City and the ocean, and of course another front involving Israel itself. I don't know, that could be pretty tough, Jim. I think it depends on something else that we're going to talk about later in the show, and that's called the involvement of Iran.
Al, I do want to address, we've only got about a minute left here, that you know, I was in Berlin as in 5th 502nd Parachute Infantry Regiment at the fall, you know, we transitioned at the end of the Russian and Eastern European collapse, the Soviet collapse. And I've trained in urban warfare. Urban warfare is incredibly challenging.
Right.
And the potential casualties are significant on all sides. So this is going to be no easy walk, no easy piece of cake for the Israeli military, and there's a potential for them to being bogged down because of the intensity if they go forward with this. And it obviously significant losses on all sides.
Right.
So that would potentially, over time, give justification for Iranian, Hezbollah, Syrian intervention in support of the Palestinians. And, of course, the Europeans are always a wild card on their support. So this is a very dangerous situation right now, and I think we'll go ahead and move on to the next segment here.
Okay, you guys, we also have to take a commercial break, so stick around. Jim and I are going to be right back.